Thanks so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And as often happens, Bassam Shakashiri will give a call and say, hey, we haven't talked about science in a while. And I'll say, you know what? We haven't. Time to do it again. And he's back with us today. Always such a pleasure to have Bassam with us to talk about. And today he's on the East Coast, as a matter of fact. He's with us by telephone, but normally he's in the studio with me. But today he's at an event, and so he's doing it by phone. But it's always great to have a chance to visit with him about what's going on in the field of science. And we've got lots of things we can talk about with him today. Want to talk about science and engineering indicators. We want to talk maybe a little about global warming. We can talk a little about the Wisconsin idea with him. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or things that you've observed here in the science area. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. How important is science and engineering to you? What examples of science and engineering in the last year have stood out to you? What are your thoughts on warm weather in 2016? All those things we can talk about and a whole lot more, so give a call. And Bassam, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Always happy to be with you, Larry, especially in person. I'll be back in Madison soon. I'm on the East Coast, making my way to Washington, D.C. for the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. This is a very big scientific meeting. It's held once a year around the country. It's not as big as the semi-annual meetings of the American Chemical Society, but it's big enough. And I'm very happy to be with you and eager to visit with you and the listening audience on the topics you have mentioned and any other topic that they may want to bring up.
You know that the 2016 science and engineering indicators were released about, I think, the last month or so. That's the biennial report issued by the National Science Board on the status of science and engineering in America. What stood out to you in that report?
This is a report that's issued every 2 years by law. It's a report from the National Science Board, which is the governing board of the National Science Foundation. It's issued to the president. And this year's report highlights the influence of social developments and different regional growths around the world that have caused and produced dramatic shifts in the global landscape of science and engineering. So there are a variety of topics in this report that are of interest, should be of interest to anyone who cares about the well-being of the scientific enterprise, but more importantly, the well-being of our society. This report is in 7 or 8 chapters. It's in 8 chapters, actually. It deals with elementary and secondary mathematics and science education. It deals with higher education in science and engineering. It deals with the workforce. It relates different developments in research productivity, academic research, industrial research. And it also has a very interesting chapter on the public attitude and understanding of science and technology. This is one that everyone who cares about the understanding of the public of science and technology should look at. And it's available on the web. It's free. And it's a big report, but it's organized in a variety of segments, including information on a state-by-state basis related to the progress that students are making. Wisconsin, I can say, has done well, but we always have to be vigilant and paying attention to make sure that we continue to do well. So we put the link to this report. Actually, people can just Google Science and Engineering Indicators 2016. But I'm sure you'll put a link on your website. I'll put a link on my website to it, too.
Absolutely. We'll have a link. Brianne will put that up as a link on our... She may already have it up there. I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look myself. I haven't seen. Well, what is there... What were some of the things that stood out? Well, let's take the chapter on the public itself. What kind of stood out, if anything, for you in that particular chapter?
Well, what struck me is that the Internet remains the primary source of information for Americans in science, and that struck me as being... I didn't expect that. I thought people would still be reading, but and getting information from other sources. But nearly half of Americans cited the Internet as their primary source of science and technology, compared to about 1/10 of Americans about 15, 16 years ago. Television and newspapers continue to be used less often as sources of science and information. Of course, that doesn't apply to your show, Larry, because you have a lot of science on your show. I can just spend the next half hour talking about all the different guests and the wonderful experiences that people encounter by listening to your show.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that, Bassam. I appreciate that. And well, we try to do that, and we try to do it in an informative and entertaining way, and so I'm glad, and you're part of that, of course, on a regular basis. So it's always great to have you come by and be with us. Well,
here's another finding in this report that struck me, that Americans perceive far more benefits than harms from science. And they want the government to fund more research. 7 out of 10 Americans say that they believe the benefits from science are much greater than the harms. And almost 90% of Americans agree that science and technology will help create more opportunities for societal progress and for future generations. So that's an important finding.
Well, where else is it going to come from if it doesn't come from that?
Well, the support for research, you know, in addition to coming from government sources, comes from parts of industry, comes from private foundations, and so on. But it's very, very satisfying to me to sense that the public understands. Well, let me be correct in how the report phrases this: perceives far more benefits than harms come from scientific research and scientific explorations.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, we're taking a look at, as we always do when he comes by, at science, and usually talk about science and science education. With him, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to go on the page, so I hope you'll do that as well. So give us a call, 800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. Well, this...
Larry?
Yes?
May I just share another finding that is relevant, I think, to one of the topics you mentioned earlier, that... Americans are becoming more aware and more convinced about changes in the climate. There is still a somewhat of a split in terms of attribution of the severity of the climate changes to human activities, but that split is beginning to disappear. There is no doubt in my mind, Larry, that global warming is unequivocal. It is unequivocal, and it's important for us to engage in public, respectful conversations about the evidence for that and also about what we must do to mitigate these changes. Some people say it's too late. I don't think it's too late. I think changes in our attitudes and changes in our behavior will help not only the economy, but will help the well-being of all society in terms of being responsible for our energy uses, for looking at alternative energy sources, for being careful in how much greenhouse gases we contribute to the atmosphere. All of these factors are alluded to in this report.
And I think, again, you know, thinking about just this last year, I think 2015 was the hottest year on record, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It was the hottest year on record. And you know, the temperatures vary. I mean, there's fluctuation in the changes in temperature, but the trend is unambiguous. The slope is definitely positive. The surface of the planet is warming, and it is related to how much we humans have contributed to putting more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and in particular carbon dioxide. This has very severe consequences on the level of the oceans that will rise. It has severe consequences on the changes in acidity of the oceans. You know, it's a very complicated situation, Larry, but we must inform ourselves. We must learn more about the basis upon which these statements are made.
Well, and you know, it's gotten to be such a political issue.
Well, it saddens me, and I say this to you and to the listening audience very openly, it saddens me that some of the presidential candidates still deny global warming. And, you know, Larry, I'm very respectful of fellow human beings, but they know better. They know that the science is clear. They know that we must be acting in responsible ways to mitigate these factors. But, you know, there are economic consequences to this, and we must be prepared to deal with them, because we can make them turn around, and we can turn around these consequences and make them beneficial to the economy. So there's a lot that's going on in this conversation. I just hope the level of discourse in 2016, when we have a presidential election, we have congressional elections, I hope the level of discourse will be respectful and responsible. So far, I'm distressed about how this is going on.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And there are some callers online, and we can take a call here. Let me see. Let's go to, we got Eric in Janesville. Can I do Eric in Janesville here? Let's try that. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Shakashiri.
Good morning.
I'm a fan of your demonstration books. I'm an educator in chemistry, and one of the issues that has always concerned me is a lack of understanding among the general public about how scientists think. And part of that is how we communicate, because we have to couch our language sometimes to present, you know, to make sure that we don't oversell what we're saying, that we fit within the realms of the experiments and the data that we have. And sometimes that's taken as doubt and misinterpreted. And I'm wondering, as an educator and someone who's been a big spokesperson for science, what do you think we could do better?
Well, Eric, thank you for raising that point. All of us in science have to develop much improved skills to communicate our science in ways that are appreciated, understood by our fellow citizens. The first thing I would say, for sure, we have to avoid using jargon. We have to speak with people, not speak at people. This is somewhat difficult for, you know, professors and teachers and so on, but it's really not all that difficult to do something about once we become aware of it. You raise a very important point about the importance of communicating effectively the findings and the values and the consequences to all segments of society. This is something we must do much, much better than what we've been doing.
Bassam Shagat Shiri, our guest today. We need to take a quick look at the news, and then we will be back with Bassam. He'll be with us till 12:30. You stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. And my guest today, Bassam Shagat Shiri, professor of chemistry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, comes by every so often to talk with us about what's going on in the world of science and science education. I'm hoping that you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today. We zeroed in a little bit about science and engineering and science and engineering indicators. We've talked a little about global warming with him. And love to hear what you have to say. What examples of science and engineering have you seen in the last year that stood out? What are your thoughts about climate here in the world? Join in. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And let's turn to David in New Berlin. David, hi. Thank you for waiting.
Well, thank you. I'm calling to thank Dr. Shagat Shiri. About 25 years ago, we had a chance meeting on a Midwest Express flight when you were coming to Milwaukee to, I think, open the rainforest exhibit at the Milwaukee Museum. We talked about the importance of STEM education. I was so impressed that I invited you, if you might remember this, to come to Milwaukee and speak to a bunch of the ESM engineers, about 30 of us. And after that presentation, all of us were so impressed that we took a new direction with this, what I call the Old Boys Engineering Society, ESM. Over the years, it's recently changed its name to STEM Forward, and it's now the regional coordinator of all STEM-related activities in Southeast Wisconsin. We're still alive. We're still kicking. We've changed our name, but it's all, I credit you for telling me your story, which we're hearing some of today on the radio, and just thank you for what you're doing. I think it's just tremendous, and I'm 83 years old. I'm retired now, but I want to thank you in person.
Thank you so much, David. It's such a pleasure to hear from you. And a great pleasure to hear about the progress that the group that I visited with is making. You know, Larry and David, this speaks to the vibrancy of the citizens of Wisconsin, and it speaks to the meaning, the true meaning of the Wisconsin idea, and what the Wisconsin idea truly means in terms of engagement, having all of us at the university, in the public, in the private sector, all of us in the public sector, work together to understand the issues that face us and to try to deal with them in highly thoughtful and effective manner. It doesn't mean that we all have to agree instantly on what should be done, but it does mean we have to talk about them. And here's David. 25 years ago, a chance encounter on Midwest Express, which is no longer in operating. It's been absorbed by another airline. And I can't tell you how pleased I am to hear this. And I would like to congratulate David and his organization and what they continue to do. I've been following some of the activities, and this is an inspiration to the younger people to pick up the baton and to move forward. Not only for our state, but for the entire country and for all the citizens around the world. This is the Wisconsin idea at its best.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm retired from Marquette now, so thank you very much.
Oh, and again, thanks, David, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, you know, there was a lot of conversation about the future of the Wisconsin idea here. Actually, there was some discussion about removing that from the UW's mission.
Yes, that happened last year, and that actually, you know, in a good way, contributed to more conversation about the true meaning of the Wisconsin idea. It's not just a banner that we raise and we fly under. It's a social contract that we have with the citizens of Wisconsin, and we must maintain and strengthen this social contract. And this means that everyone should work together. It isn't that the university people are going to be telling others what to do. It is that the university people are willing to engage in respectful conversations about the needs of our citizens. The history of the Wisconsin idea is very rich in magnificent contributions, not only to the state of Wisconsin, but to the world. And what we have to do now in the 21st century is commit ourselves to the true meaning of this public engagement and the consequences that can accrue from respectful conversations, respectful dialogue with all the citizens. Whether you live in a rural area or in an urban area, whether your children go to a public school or to a private school, we all have a stake in this. And the well-being of our beloved state now, in its 167th year, is something that we should be all celebrating and all working together to further improve it. We can't just sit on our laurels from what has happened in the past. We must be inventive. We must be creative to move in directions that serve good purposes.
Lynn in Coloma has something for us next. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Dr. Shakashuri, we've been having problems in the Central Sands with these high-capacity wells and the high nitrate levels, and now all the CAFOs with the E. coli in our wells. And there's a bill up on Wednesday that they want to shove through, and we've been fighting, and, you know, with everything that's happened in Flint, I'm really concerned about our water in the state of Wisconsin. And as part of the Wisconsin idea, I have a hard time thinking that we're just going to destroy our water for citizens to use.
Thank you for comments, Bassam.
Yeah, this is a very important point that's being raised, and Flint is only, I hope is only one example, but I'm doubtful about that. We have to be careful, understand about the amount and concentrations of the different chemicals that are in drinking water, and how the drinking water is moved from one location to another. So we have to work with our elected officials. We have to be careful to share the information we have, not only the scientific information, but the economic information about the issues that are being discussed. And, you know, this is how the democratic process works, by having full participation. And I dare say that we don't have sufficient participation on the part of citizens on issues like this. The scientific community and the technological community are ready to deal with those issues. Water is a very big global problem. There are 1.3 billion people around the world who cannot take a sip of potable water. This, to me, is unconscionable in this age of great advances in science and technology. But it's not just the science that needs to be attended to. It is the same issue that the caller has mentioned, that is how to work with our elected officials to make sure that bills are passed that are helpful to us and to the environment, and that these bills are not only enacted, but are pursued and are followed. So this is a very important call for citizens to participate in this process. The one that the caller mentioned, the one that deals with water. There are a variety of chemicals in the water, naturally occurring, but there are many others that have been added since the Industrial Revolution, and we have to be aware of what they are and how to deal with them.
Thank you, Lynn, for calling. Appreciate your call. And I'll invite you to join in, too, with your own questions or comments or experiences to share. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go back to the Wisconsin idea for just a few minutes. But Sam, there are many triumphs. In your mind, what are the some of the largest triumphs of the Wisconsin idea?
Vitamin D, the research that was done to create the satellites and the weather technology, the Social Security Act, understanding, the historian Frederick Jackson Turner, understanding the American frontier, warfarin, Carl Paul Link, who discovered the powerful anti-clotting agent that was causing cows to bleed to death, Harry Harlow, the psychologist, researched the role of the mother in nurturing. Fellow chemist Farrington Daniels, my office and my lab are in the Daniels building, who in the 1950s, long before alternative energy was coined, he was a strong advocate of the use of solar energy. Howard Temin, who received the Nobel Prize for his work on DNA, RNA, and genetics. Jamie Thompson, our colleague now, with his work on stem cells. Jim Domesic, and the chemical engineer professor now dealing with biodiesel fuels. Steve Carpenter studying the chemistry of water. The list goes on and on and on. And so the triumphs are there. We all benefit from them. We accept them. Some people don't recognize their origin. That's all right. What concerns me is that the Wisconsin idea now must succeed more in engaging meaningful conversations with the citizens of Wisconsin so that the university is not viewed as just being down there in Madison, and when the sports teams do well, we cheer them. Of course, we are in Madison, and of course, we cheer the sports team when they do well. But the university has a social contract with the citizens of Wisconsin, and this social contract means that both parties are responsible for seeing to it that the research and education that takes place is of the very best quality and is financially supported accordingly. But also means that the citizens of Wisconsin must come forward and say what is on their mind, just as the caller, Lynn, just called, and others come forward and become part of a conversation, of a dialogue that leads to action. This is so important to do, especially in this election year, because there's tremendous issues that are before us, and the people we elect as our political leaders should be reflecting our own values and our own concerns. And so it's very, very important to see to it that the Wisconsin idea does not fail. The biggest failure I see to the Wisconsin idea is this lack of connectivity between the two parties to the social contract. And I think we should improve and strengthen the connectivity between the university and the citizens of Wisconsin, and that takes action on both sides.
Hmm. Judith in Wausau has something for us. Judith, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, sir, I had a comment. I'm backtracking a bit to the conversation you had with the caller about the connection, the communication between scientists and the public. And that is that I think there is another ingredient to that miscommunication or lack of communication, and that is the way scientists are currently being presented on very popular television shows. If you look at something like the Big Bang Theory, you'll see that it irritates the living daylights out of me because scientists are presented as only being intelligent, mature, and focused in their field of endeavor. In every other arena of life, they are presented as immature and incompetent. So
I'm
they're
with
made
you,
laughable.
Judith. I'm with you, Judith. I'm with you. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I mean, they're made laughable. And when I look back at shows in the past, and I'll just use this example, if you go through all, for instance, the Star Trek series, for lack of a better example, is you look at the science officers in those shows, they were the most respected member of those crews. Those people were presented as intelligent, competent, mature, respectable. And that's not what I see today.
You are correct that there are images and presentations that inaccurately depict what science and scientists do. So you mentioned the Big Bang Theory. There was a series, Breaking Bad. I agree with you. I'm with you about this. I think the level of entertainment in our society needs to be looked at very carefully and needs to be examined. And we should be outspoken, as you are, Judith, about this point. Yeah, it's okay to be humorous every now and then, but not constant barrage about the same kind of nerd behavior that is on these shows. I know what I'm saying might not sit very well with everyone in the listening audience, but I think we have serious issues that face us, and we need entertainment, but we need good entertainment, not just entertainment for the sake of having cheap thrills and empty laughter.
No.
So thank you, Judith, for raising this point.
Thank you for your comments.
Yeah, thanks, Judith. Willem in Colfax, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to address the Mr. Shakashiri's comments about citizen involvement. I think it's very important, especially about these issues. They like to divide us, you know, left, right, and political parties. But a lot of these issues, especially around water quality, air quality, local control, are things that are outside of party politics, but have an effect on all of us. And I think it's important to call our senators and our representatives and let them know how we feel about these issues. And there's the State of Wisconsin Blue Book, which lists all the representatives. Most of them have 800 numbers, so it doesn't even cost you anything other than the time it takes to call. And I think these issues are really important, especially water quality issues. This idea that the number of high-capacity wells in a region cannot be considered is ludicrous. So I think it's really important to call about these issues and let them know how we feel and that we want these shared resources to be protected.
Willem, thank you for calling. And Bassam, a comment.
Yes, I appreciate what you said, Willem, and I hope you and others will follow through with what you said. You know, if everyone in our listening audience today can talk to two or three other people about one of the topics that were raised in our conversation today, or about any other topic that relates to the well-being of our society, and then act on the conversation, I think that would be very, very much in the spirit of who we are, citizens of Wisconsin, and what we believe in and what we aspire to. I think participation in the democratic process is crucial to the success of our democracy. It doesn't mean we don't have differences of opinion. It does mean that we engage in respectful public dialogue so that we resolve these issues and we resolve them successfully. I'm very happy to hear from the callers today, Larry, and I sincerely hope that they and others, everyone in the listening audience, will engage in further meaningful conversations about the true meaning of the Wisconsin idea and the true responsibility that we have as citizens of Wisconsin when it comes to issues that relate to water quality and global warming and the economic well-being of our state.
I certainly think that the comments that from people when this whole business came up about the Wisconsin idea really did result in a contracting or taking back of the idea of eliminating that from the...
That was good. That was very helpful. But in my view, not sufficient.
Yeah.
What we have to do is act on what we believe in. What we have to do is take responsible action. I'm very, very pleased with this flow of conversation today, Larry. And that's another tribute to you and to Wisconsin Public Radio for enabling us all to engage in raising these issues and hopefully act on them.
Bassam, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great conference and look forward to seeing you when you get back to Madison.
Thank you so much, Larry. If I may mention one more thing.
All right, quickly.
One of our vice chancellors, Daryl Bazell, is leaving Wisconsin and going to the University of Texas. I want to salute Daryl for what he's done, not only as an administrator at UW-Madison, but for having served as the secretary of DNR. He's an outstanding citizen of Wisconsin. I'm very, very happy for what he wants to do. I'm not so happy that we are losing him.
Yeah. Thank you, Bassam. I agree with you. He's a wonderful man and a guest on this program many times. So we will definitely miss him. But Bassam will be back. Bassam Shakashiri, our guest. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.